الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. We continue our readings in the treatise أخلاق حملة القرآن, the manners of the etiquettes of the carriers of the Quran, the manners of the carriers of the Quran by Al-Imam Al-Ajurri Rahimahullah Ta'ala. We continue from our reading in our previous class in the chapter entitled Fadlu Al-Ijtima' Fi Al-Masajid Lidars Al-Quran, the virtue of gathering together in the masajid for studying the Quran, or in order to study the Quran. The author, he mentioned with his chain to Abi Hurairah radiyallahu anhu the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, majtama'a qawmun fi baytin min buyutillahi yatluna kitab allahi wa yatadarasunahu baynahum إلا نزلت عليهم السكينة وغشيتهم الرحمة وحفتهم الملائكة وذكرهم الله في من عنده ومن بطأ به عمله لم يسرع به نسبه. The author, he mentioned the narration of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, authentic narration, that there is no group of people that gathers in a house from the houses of Allah, reciting the book of Allah and studying it amongst themselves, except that tranquility will descend upon them and they will be engulfed in mercy, and the angels will encompass them and crowd around them, and Allah will mention them amongst those who are near to Him. And whoever's deeds caused him to fall behind, then his lineage will not help him catch up, will not catch him up. Whoever's deeds caused him to fall behind, the race to do good and to achieve the high status in the paradise, then his lineage will not help him to speed up or to catch up. So we see that this is a virtue for any people who gather in the houses, from the houses of Allah. في بيت من بيوت الله مجتمع قوم في بيت من بيوت الله. بيوت الله سبحانه وتعالى هي المساجد, مساجد الله. These are the most beloved places to Allah Azza wa Jal. It's been authentically reported on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he said, أَحَبُّ الْبِلَادِ إِلَى اللَّهِ مَسَاجِدُهَا, that the most beloved lands to Allah Azza wa Jal are the masajid, because these are places that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed to be built and to be raised and to be established for the purpose of mentioning His name and remembering His name and worshipping Him alone, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these are the places and the land that are specific for the recitation of His speech and the teaching of His deen and the learning of His religion and the way of His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They're the most beloved places to Allah azza wa jal. And this is an indication of the virtue of seeking knowledge in general, and likewise the virtue of seeking knowledge specifically in the masajid, that this is a great virtue, and the origin and seeking knowledge is in the masajid, and that the masajid are a place of knowledge and light, and the light of the sunnah and tawheed is spread from the masajid, and that the masajid should be erased with this purpose, and the classes should be ongoing, and the knowledge should be spread beginning from the masajid. Studying in schools and the likes like this, universities, is also good and beneficial, or in marakis, likewise is beneficial, but the origin is that the knowledge and seeking knowledge is obtained and it is sought and it is taught in the masajid. And this is where the barakah is and the best blessing, studying and learning in the masajid, learning the correct creed and belief in the masajid, learning the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the masajid. But on the other hand, the masajid, they're not a place for people to come and spread their politics and voting and all of these different issues, spreading the calling the people to come and mention the politicians to come to the masjid and talk about politics and these things like this. This is not for the masajid, rather it's for seeking knowledge, for worshipping Allah Azza wa Jal and the likes like this. And the likes like this. مَجْتَمَعَ قَوْمٌ فِي بَيْتٍ مِنْ بُيُوتِ اللَّهِ يَتْلُونَ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ يَتْلُونَ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ reciting the book of Allah. As the ulama, they mentioned, reciting it as an individual can recite it to himself. He will be included in this virtue. Reciting it by himself, as many do today. We find brothers sitting alone waiting for salah, reciting to himself. Or likewise reciting to a teacher. Reciting, one would recite out loud and the teacher will correct him. Or one would recite out loud and then the others will recite after him. Like this, learning. All of this is included in this narration. يَتُرُونَ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ. Or some may recite one page and another one recites another page until they complete a portion of the Qur'an that they have agreed upon to complete. In this manner, this is all included in the understanding of the prophets, of this narration of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَمَجْتَمَعَ قَوْمٌ فِي بَيْتٍ مِنْ بُيُوتِ اللَّهِ يَتْلُونَ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ reciting the book of Allah, reciting it to themselves, reciting it with each other, taking turns reciting back and forth, reciting to a teacher, being corrected in this manner like this. All of this is included. وَيَتَدَارَسُونَهُ بَيْنَهُمْ and they're studying it amongst themselves. So يَتْلُونَ حُرُوفَهُ وَيَتَدَارَسُونَ مَعَانِيَهُ so they're reciting the words of the Qur'an and they're studying the meanings of the Qur'an. So this is included here, both of this. And likewise, what the ulama, they mentioned with regards to reciting and studying the Qur'an doesn't specifically mean the Qur'an has to be recited. Like for example, these type of gatherings where the Qur'an is being studied right now. This is considered studying of the Qur'an, majalis al-dhikr, where the halal and the haram is being taught, and where the etiquettes and the manners is being studied and learned, where the proper creed and belief is being studied. This all is included under studying the Qur'an. And learning the Qur'an, and reciting the book of Allah Azza wa Jal, and learning the meanings of the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the case, those who seek to learn how to recite it and to understand it, then they have four rewards. There's four different rewards that come for these individuals who gather in the houses from the house of Allah. The first one, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, نَزَلَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ السَّكِينَةِ that the tranquility will descend upon them. Sakina al-tumanina, al-tumanina fil qalb, sakina in the heart. Yani whenever the sakina and the tumanina comes in the heart from the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal and from the learning of the religion of Allah Azza wa Jal, this is a great blessing that a person, he would find tranquility in his heart and he would find satisfaction in his heart and he would find pleasure in his heart for Allah Azza wa Jal and for his, as a Lord and for the Messenger as his Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and for Islam as his religion. This is a blessing, a great blessing from Allah Azza wa Jalla that he would put this satisfaction and this sakina and this tumanina in the heart of an individual. And like this, Allah Azza wa Jalla, he mentions, he says, "Ala bi dhikrillahi tatma'innul qulub," that verily by the remembrance of Allah, the hearts find tranquility and find peace. Some people, their hearts are not tranquil and they do not have sakina. They have ittirab and they have khalaq. And they're khalaq, they're scared and they're worried and they have hem and gham. And they don't have any peace and they can't rest and they can't sleep well. They don't have the tranquility that a believer will have whenever the mention of Allah is, whenever Allah's name is mentioned in his presence. That his heart will find tranquility and his heart will find peace and contentment. His heart will find yaqeen and certainty that Allah is his Lord. This is a blessing from Allah Azza wa Jal. This is the reward for those who gather in the houses of Allah Azza wa Jal to recite his book and to learn it. This is one of the rewards. وَغَشِيَتْهُمُ الرَّحْمَةِ وَغَشِيَتْهُمُ الرَّحْمَةِ أَيْغَطَّتْهُمُ الرَّحْمَةِ الْغَشَيَانَ التَّغْطِيَةِ الْغَشَيَانَ وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَغْشَاهَا نعم وغشيتهم رحمة يعني غطتهم يعني engulf them and covered them, the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal. This is the second blessing and bounty and reward for those who gather together for the purpose of reciting and learning the book of Allah Azza wa Jal, that the mercy will come from, will engulf them. And from the mercy that we find from the book of Allah Azza wa Jal and studying it is that many people who were once misguided, they go aright. Great rahmah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that they will sit in the gatherings of the ulama and that they will sit in the gatherings of the students of knowledge and they will hear the book of Allah being explained in the proper manner and the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam being mentioned and clarified And maybe one would be misguided entirely in disbelief, and he would hear these beneficial words and Allah will benefit him by way of them. Rahmah. Minhu subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or maybe somebody would be misguided upon a wrong methodology, a wrong idea and wrong understanding. Then sitting in the gatherings in the houses of Allah Azza wa Jalla with the students of knowledge, with the people of knowledge, with the ulama, listening to these words being recited, the book of Allah Azza wa Jalla, listening to the hadith being clarified, listening to the masail being light being shed on them, the light of the sunnah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then going straight, coming out of misguidance, coming out of the darkness into the light of true iman, into the light of the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the result. This is from the result of sitting in the gatherings of knowledge. مَجْتَمَعَ قَوْمٌ فِي بَيْتٍ مِنْ بُيُوتِ اللَّهِ يَتْلُونَ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ وَيَتَدَارَسُونَهُ بَيْنَهُمْ إِلَّا نَزَلَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ السَّكِينَةُ وَغَشِيَتْهُمْ رَحْمَةٌ. Al-Hidayah min Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, rahmah. Rahmah, al-Hidayah, it is sirat al-mustaqim, guidance to the straight path. This is a great mercy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned about this. هُوَ الَّذِي يُنَزِّلُ عَلَىٰ أَبَدِهِ آيَاتٍ بَيِّنَاتٍ لِيُخْرِجَكُمْ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ بِكُمْ لَرَؤُوفُ الرَّحِيمِ. That it is he who has sent down the clear verses to his slave to bring you out from the darkness into the light. And verily Allah is very kind and merciful to you. وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ بِكُمْ لَرَؤُوفُ الرَّحِيمِ. This is from the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla to guide an individual to Islam and to guide his heart to Tawheed and to guide his heart to accept the truth and the revelation of the Quran and in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is from the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and this is what is found in the gatherings of knowledge, in the circle of knowledge, in the circles of knowledge, حلقات العلم, حلق الذكر, and gatherings where the mention of Allah is being mentioned in the proper manner. It's been narrated in Sahih Muslim that some of the Khawarij, they had intended to come. This was in the time of Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhuma, from the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the early ages after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There are still companions alive. From them, Jabir ibn Abdullah, he's teaching radiallahu anhuma in the Prophet's masjid sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Some of the Khawarij, they had planned to come to Medina, to Mecca. They had planned to come to Mecca and to go for Hajj. And after Hajj, they had planned to make Khuruj on the ruler. They had planned to make Khuruj on the ruler. If somebody can remember the narrator's name, I forget it at this moment. Astaghfirullah. But he's narrating on Jabir ibn Abdullah in Sahih Muslim. Sheikh Abdul Muslim, he always mentions this story, the benefit from sitting in the gatherings of the ulama, and the mercy of sitting in the gatherings of the ulama. It's called the Hadith of Jahannamiyin. Jabir, so this group of Khawarij, they're coming to Hajj. Their plan is to go to Hajj and go to Mecca. And after Hajj, they're going to make Khuruj on the Hujjaj and on the rulers. They're going to pull their swords out and start fighting and killing in the Hajj season in Mecca. This is their plan. And on their way there, they stopped in Medina. And in Medina, they seen a gathering of knowledge. There was a man leaning against the pillar, and he was teaching the people. And it just happened to be Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhum, and he was narrating the haditha, the shafa'ah. Whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is mentioning that some people from the Muslims will fall into the hellfire, and then they will be taken out of the hellfire, and they're called the jahannamiyin, yani the people who go in the fire and come out. And he's narrating the narration like this, and they're looking at themselves, these khawarij are looking at each other. They're like, "Who is this? Do you think that this old man would lie on the Prophet like this?" And because they seen him on the one, they asked who it is. They said, "This is Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhu, the companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam." So they went to him, and they confronted him, and he explained to them that this is the narration of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they used some verses, "Ma hum bi kharijina minha," the verses that the Khawarij use that mention that they're not going to ever come out of the hellfire. And he clarified that this is with regards to the disbelievers. As for the one who dies upon iman, then he's has a different ruling. And he mentioned this, and it's mentioned in this narration that him and his companions, almost all of them, they turned back from the way of the Khawarij. They turned back from the way of the Khawarij, except for a few, and they were killed. But this is an example of the benefit of sitting in the gatherings of the ulama, the rahmah غشيتهم الرحمة, like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned. How many times have somebody had a misunderstanding and then he said in the gathering with the students of knowledge or with the ulama, and then it was clarified for him and he found the right way and he found the right belief, he found the right creed. Many of the Muslims have been misguided and into shirk and into bid'ah and thinking that this is the correct way, and then they sit in the gathering of somebody who is upright and they hear the good speech and the clarification in the good manner of the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Allah guide their heart. This is from the mercy. Naam, this is from the mercy that comes from the gatherings of the people of knowledge and the gatherings where the Quran is recited and the Quran is being studied and learned. Just as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned the second benefit for these gatherings, وَغَشِيَتْهُمُ الرَّحْمَةِ وَحَفَّتْهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ وَحَفَّتْهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ, and the meaning that أَحَاطَ بِهِمَ الْمَلَائِكَةِ, they come all around them. They come all around them. There are narrations that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned about this, that Allah, إِنَّ لِلَّهِ مَلَائِكَةً سَيَّاحِينَ. In one narration, مَلَائِكَةً سَيَّارَةً فُضُلًا. That Allah Azza wa Jalla, He has extra angels, angels that are not the angels that are used for, that Allah has entrusted them to the rain or to the plants or to the affairs of the dunya, but rather these are angels that has been specified, that Allah has created them for the purpose of going through the land, seeking out the gatherings of dhikr, seeking out the gatherings of dhikr, majalis of dhikr. They're called al-malaika al-sayyahin, inna lillahi malaikatan sayyahin. Oh, in one narration, sayaratan, meaning they go about looking for the gatherings of dhikr. The ulama mentioned the gatherings of dhikr, yani the gatherings of knowledge, where the halal and the haram is being taught, where the Quran is being taught, where the sunnah is being taught, where the proper creed is being taught. And whenever they find these gatherings, they call each other, halumma ila hajatikum, halumma ila bughyatikum, in different wordings of the narration, come to what you've been searching for. Come to what, and they gather around them, and they gather around them. تحفهم الملائكة ويركب بعضهم بعضا إلى السماء الدنيا. And they gather around the gathering, and then they are going up, gathering all on top of them, gathering around them all the way to the nearest heaven, like this. And this is from the virtue of the gatherings of knowledge, that the angels, they will come and gather around them like this, so that the shayateen, they have no means to come through. They have no means to enter and to cause commotion and confusion. This is the case, and from the virtue of the gatherings of knowledge, from the gatherings of knowledge, from the gatherings where the Quran is being recited and being taught and being learned. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned the fourth benefit, وَذَكَرَهُمْ اللَّهُ فِي مَنْ عِنْدَهُ, and that verily Allah, He will mention them amongst those who are with Him, and those who are near to Him, meaning al-malaika al-muqarrabin. This means that whenever Allah will mention them, يعني يثني عليهم, Allah يباهي بهم, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will boast about them, mentioning them and praising them in the company of the angels, in the company of His nearest angels, المقربين, الملائكة المقربون. Naam, there has been likewise an authentic narration on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with this regard, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ وأهل السماوات والأراضين حتى النمل في جهرها ليصلون على معلم الناس الخيرا ليصلون على معلم الناس الخيرا. That verily Allah and His angels and the people of the heavens and the people of the earth, and His angels that are near to Him, and then the people of the heavens and the inhabitants of the heavens and the inhabitants of the earth, all of them, they send salutations. Even the namla fi juhriha, even an ant in her hole, they all send salutations on the one who teaches the people the good. ليصلون على معلمي الناس خيرا. They send salutations, and he praising them. Praising them. And this has also been mentioned likewise from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the scholar or the person of knowledge, لَا يَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهُ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ حَتَّى الْحِيْتَانُ فِي جَوْفِ الْمَاءِ. That everything in the heavens and the earth, they seek forgiveness for the person of knowledge, even the fish in the sea. Like this, the people of the heavens, or the inhabitants of the heavens and the inhabitants of the earth, praising this person who teaches, the ones who teach the good, This is a glad tidings and a bushra for those who are teaching in the masajid and teaching the Quran and teaching the sunnah and the likes like this. And all of the fish in the sea likewise, they seek forgiveness for this type of individual, a person of knowledge. This is because the ulama, they have said, al-jaza'u min jins al-amal. That because these people of knowledge, they are teaching the people that which is permissible from these animals. What fish is permissible? What's the proper way to slaughter them? What's the proper way to eat them? Which one is permissible to eat? Which one is impermissible to eat? That which animal is permissible to ride? Which animal is not? How much can you put on the animal? There's limits in their rights. Even the animals have rights. And there's a manner that they should be slaughtered. And all of this, the ulama, they're the ones teaching the people this. They're the ones teaching the people to be kind. And teaching the people the narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Inna Allah kataba al-ihsan ala kulli shay, fa idha dhabhtum fa ahsinu al-dhibha. The hadith of being kind whenever you slaughter, all of this. So in recompense for this good that the ulama and the people of knowledge are bringing to the creation, Allah has caused and inspired to the creation in return to seek forgiveness for these people. So this is all coming from the benefit of gathering in the masajid, studying in the masajid, learning in the masajid, and the bounty and the blessing that comes. وَذَكَرُهُمْ اللَّهُ فِي مَنْ عِنْدَهُ. That even though, not only the one who teaches, he has this reward, but those who are studying in the masjid, Allah is mentioning them, meaning praising them in amongst his angels that are near to him. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from amongst them, those whom he praises and he mentions and boasts with his angels, and to make our gatherings from these gatherings, the gatherings of the hereafter, and the gatherings that Allah is pleased with, where His book is being recited, and where His book is being studied and learned. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, وَمَنْ بَطَّأَ بِهِ عَمَلُهُ لَمْ يُسْرِعْ بِهِ نَسَبُهُ. And this is an indication that seeking knowledge is incumbent, and the masjid is the place to do it, and the best and the first and foremost place to do it. But likewise, as for the one who did not apply his knowledge, then don't let him think that his lineage is going to get him anywhere. Now, the one who من بطع به من أخره عمله and درجات الجنة and منازل الجنة, and his deeds caused him to fall behind. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He mentioned, ولكل درجات مما عملوا وما الله بغافل عما يعملون. That for all of them, they have the levels according to what they did and according to their actions. So the one who doesn't perform the actions, even if he has the knowledge, then he's not, he shouldn't rely on his lineage to think it's going to get him somewhere. This is the case the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is clarifying. In their time, the lineage was a big thing. Even we have the issue now in some cultures about tribes and the likes like this, that somebody might have a rank in the community because of his tribe, his tribal relationship with the people or in the society or in the community. But this is not the case with Allah Azza wa Jalla. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He says clearly in the Quran, "Inna akramakum 'inda Allahi atqakum." That verily the most noble of you with Allah is the one who fears Him the most. So the one who is black, or the one who is white, or the one who is Arab, the one who is non-Arab, all of this is not going to get somebody a high status with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but rather it's going to be his actions and his deeds. Rather it's going to be his conduct and his actions and his deeds. This is the means to achieve a high status and rank with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this life and in the hereafter. If we look at the likes of Salman al-Farisi radiallahu anhu, if we look at the likes of Bilal radiallahu anhu, that we've seen that with the case of Bilal, he came and he was a slave radiallahu anhu, and likewise Salman al-Farisi, he came and he was going through similar issues like this, and came to a strange land, and he was bought and sold and the likes like this, and escaped and going through all this hardship. And then we see somebody who has one of the highest of the lineage, Abu Jahl, from the best lineage, from the lineage of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But that lineage didn't help him whatsoever with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's not the lineage that's going to raise somebody. It's not his status in society that's going to raise somebody. Rather, it's his actions and his deeds. If somebody has a good lineage and he has good actions, alhamdulillah. No doubt, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam clarified that the best of the people, that he come from the best lineage, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had chosen him and chosen Quraysh from Kinana and the likes like this, and chosen Kinana for Quraysh from Kinana, and chosen him from Kinana, Bani Hashim, or Quraysh, from Quraysh, Bani Hashim, and me from Bani Hashim, and the narration of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this lineage is the best lineage, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes from the best lineage, of course. But the lineage alone, without action, will not benefit. But if somebody has a good lineage and a good family history and background, and he has good deeds, this is khayr on top of khayr. This is khayr on top of khayr. من بطأ به عمله لم يسرع به نسبه. So this is a fundamental understanding that what is required for a person to achieve high status and rank are his actions and his deeds. Are his actions and his deeds. We can likewise understand the likes of this. Today we see many people, they have a doctora, or they have magister, or they have bachelor's degree, or they have tazkiyah from so-and-so, and the likes like this. That's good, alhamdulillah, and this is a qarina, but it's not sufficient alone if it's not in accordance with the actions of the individual. If it's not in accordance with the actions of the individual. If his actions are contrary, then this diploma will not benefit him with Allah Azza wa Jalla. If his actions are not in accordance to what is pleasing to Allah, then this tazkiyah from Shaykh so-and-so will not benefit him with Allah Azza wa Jalla. If he has the correct actions and that proper upright deeds, along with, and the creed, along with the tazkiyah, alhamdulillah, khayran on top of khayr, barakah on top of barakah. Or if he has a doctor's degree, or a bachelor's degree, or a master's degree, and he is applying the actions properly, and he has good deeds, alhamdulillah, light on top of light. As for the one who relies upon this, and he says, I have a doctor's degree, I have a master's degree, I have a tazkiyah from so-and-so, and then you see him lying, or you see him acting foully, or the likes like this, that will not benefit him whatsoever. Or you see him following the methodology of the Khawarij. He's got a doctor's degree and a tazkiyah from Shaykh Ibn Baz, but he is calling the people to Mazahirat. That's not going to benefit him whatsoever. That's not going to benefit him whatsoever. So the issue of this, yani, that the one who doesn't have a good lineage, or he doesn't have, excuse me, the one who doesn't have the good deeds, then his lineage or his relationship with the people or his scholarships and the likes will not benefit him with Allah Azza wa Jal. Will not benefit him with Allah Azza wa Jal. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَنْظُرُ إِلَى سُوَرِكُمْ وَأَمْغَالِكُمْ فِي حَدِيثِ أَبِي هُرَيْرَ رضي الله عنه في صحيح مسلم. That verily Allah, he doesn't look to your form, your shape, and to your wealth. وَلَكِنْ يَنْظُرُ إلى أعمالكم وقلوبكم ينظر إلى قلوبكم وأعمالكم. Like, but he looks to your hearts and to your deeds, to your hearts and to your deeds. So this is something that a Muslim, he has to keep in mind and keep his holding himself into account, that he strives to have good deeds and not rely upon what the people say about him, or not rely upon his lineage or his ancestry and the likes like this. This is clarified in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Likewise, the author, he mentioned the last narration in this chapter. He mentions a narration too with his chain to Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma. He was asked, أَيُّ الْعَمَلِ أَفْضَلْ, what is the best deed? قَالَ ذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرْ. He said, radiyallahu anhuma, Ibn Abbas, that verily the remembrance of Allah is the greatest. And then he said, مَا جَلَسَ قَوْمٌ فِي بَيْتٍ مِنْ بُيُوتِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ يَتَدَرَسُونَ فِيهِ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ وَيَتَعَاطَوْنَهُ بَيْنَهُمْ إِلَّا أَظَلَّتْهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ بِأَجْنِحَتِهَا وَكَانُوا أَضْيَافَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى مَا دَامُوا فِيهِ وَكَانُوا أَضْيَافَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى مَا دَامُوا فِيهِ حَتَّى يَخُوضُوا فِي حَدِيثٍ غَيْرِهِ. He mentioned رضي الله عنه that the best deed is the remembrance of Allah. And then somebody may think, yani, subhanAllah, subhanAllah, subhanAllah. The remembrance of Allah is not restricted to this. Or the ulama of the Salaf and the ulama of Hadith, they used to consider a person in the dhikr of Allah if he would remember the obligations. For example, and he would remember the prohibitions. If he went outside and he's seen an image that, or a person, a woman, for example, and he lowered his gaze, remembering Allah, that Allah can see him and that Allah will hold him accountable, and that Allah is not pleased with him to look at this woman, then this is the dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal. This is the dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal. If he's eating and he sees some food that's not permissible, he leaves it. This is the dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal. If he goes out seeking the halal provision because he knows it's halal and he partakes in it, this is from the dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal. Remembering the commandments of Allah, remembering the prohibitions of Allah. Whenever he starts his quran, Bismillah, he remembers Allah Azza wa Jal, seeking his aid and his help. Like this. This is all from the dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal. Likewise, it's not limited to tasbih and to takbir and to tahlil. But rather the dhikr of Allah is in the gatherings of knowledge, and it's in the application of knowledge, and it's whenever one is in prayer, he's in the dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal. Whenever a person is refraining from backbiting, whenever he is repressing his anger, he remembers the words of Allah Azza wa Jal and he represses his anger. And the likes like this is often the dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal. وَذِكْرُ Akbar. That's why he said after that, no group of people gather in a house from the houses of Allah, studying the book of Allah and giving it, يَتَعَطَوْنُهُ يَعْنِي يُعْطِي بَعْضُهُمْ بَعْضًا فَوَائِدْ. And he was this one, he would mention the verse and he would say, the ulama mentioned about this, they're sharing benefits like this, studying the Quran, studying the book of Allah, sharing benefits like this. He said, except the angels will shade them with their wings. And they will be the host of Allah Azza wa Jalla in his house so long as they are in this remembrance until they delve into some other speech. So this is the case, the virtue of gathering in the masjid to study the Quran. The masjid is the most virtuous place to study and to learn the religion. To gather in the masjid is a great, great deed to study and to learn the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The masjids that are based upon this and that have this fundamental principle and idea and the establishment of the masjid to be established upon knowledge and spreading knowledge, this is one of the main goals of the masjid. Establishing the five daily prayers, no doubt, but likewise to establish the deen properly by spreading the proper knowledge. By spreading the proper knowledge. So the author, we have completed the reading of his introductions. He mentioned the manners of the people of the Quran. He would like to mention the virtue of the people of the Quran. Then he mentioned the virtue of studying the Quran and gathering in the masajid, the virtue of the one who studies the Quran, the virtue of the one who learns the Quran and teaches it, the virtue of gathering in the masjid to study the Quran. Now we begin reading the main portion of the book, and the author, he says, Babun, the chapter, Dhikru Akhlaqi Ahli al-Quran. Dhikru Akhlaqi Ahl al-Quran. The chapter, the mention of the manners of the people of the Quran. The mention of the manners of the people of the Quran. Qala Muhammad ibn al-Husayn, rahimahullah. The author, he says, Yanbaghi liman 'allamahu Allah ta'ala al-Quran wa faddalahu 'ala ghayrihi mimman lam yuhammilhu kitabahu. وأحب أن يكون من أهل القرآن وأهل الله عز وجل وخاصته ومن من وعده الله من الفضل العظيم مما تقدم ذكرنا له وممن قال الله عز وجل يتلونه حق تلاوته قيل في التفسير يعملون به حق عمله وممن قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الذي يقرأ القرآن وماهر به مع الكرام السفرة والذي يقرأه وهو عليه شاق له أجران. He said, رحمه الله تعالى, that what is befitting and incumbent upon the one who Allah has taught him the Quran. Again, here is remembering or reminding that this is from the virtue of Allah Azza wa Jalla. يَنْبَغِي لِمَنْ عَلَّمُهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى الْقُرْآنَ. This is befitting what is incumbent for the one whom Allah has taught him the Quran. It's not from his virtue that he learned the Quran, rather it's from the grace of Allah Azza wa Jalla that he learned the Quran. وَكَانَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكَ عَظِيمًا وَفَضَّلَهُ عَلَى غَيْرِهِ. And he preferred him over other than him, from those who Allah did not bear this Quran or give him this Quran to carry. And there are many people out there that Allah did not allow them to learn the Quran. There are many people out there right now who cannot read the Fatiha. Or they cannot read it, they have memorized al-Baqarah. Or they have not memorized Juz Amma. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has favored some over others. Some they have memorized Juz Amma, all of them. Some have memorized Qul Huwa Allahu Ahad. There are some they have not memorized that. From the Muslims, there are some who don't even know. There are people who they don't even know the name of Allah. And they never even heard of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So to know this and to be upon this way, and then for Allah to teach an individual the Quran and for him to learn the Quran and to recite it, this is a great virtue and a great blessing. He said, and he would love for an individual likewise befitting for the one who would love to be from the people of the Quran And to love to be from those specific and special ones of Allah Azza wa Jal, those who Allah has promised that great virtue, from those that have preceded their mention, any that we have mentioned previously in the previous chapters. He said, from those who would like to be from those who Allah had mentioned about the, with regards to them, that they recite the book, the true recitation, meaning that what has been said in the explanation, that they follow it, the true following. And from those who would like to be from those who the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said about them, whenever they recite the Quran, that they are mahir, that they are proficient, that they will be along with the noble, that they will be along with the noble angels. And the one who recites it, and it's difficult for him, that he has two rewards. Whoever would like to be with these people. وقال بشر بن الحارث سمعت عيسى بن يونس رحمه الله يقول إذا ختم العبد قبل الملك بين عينيه. He says فينبغي له أن يجعل القرآن ربيعا لقلبه. So the one who would like to have all of this virtue that he has mentioned before, the one who would like to be from the people of the Quran, the one who would like to be from the specific people that Allah has chosen, the one that would like to be from those who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught them the Quran and given them the great virtue of learning His words and His book and reciting it the proper recitation, following it the proper following. If the one who would like to be from those who the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has praised and said that those who recite the Quran and they are proficient, then they are at the ranks of the noble angels. And those, and as for the one who recites it and is difficult for him, then he has two rewards. Who would like to have this rank? He says, then they must first make the Quran rabi'an liqalbihi. فَيَنْبَغِي لَهُ أَنْ يَجْعَلْ الْقُرْآنَ رَبِيعًا لِقَلْبِهِ. Before that, he mentioned likewise that it's been mentioned by Isa ibn Yunus, that he said that a person, if he completes the Quran, the malik will, the angel will kiss him between his eyes. This particular narration is not narrated on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so this narration is not authentic. But it's been narrated here on Isa ibn Yunus, and it's been narrated by Sufyan ibn Thawri, Sufyan al-Thawri, rahimahum Allah ta'ala. But this chain is not connected to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so we can't affirm that. But in any case, he continues and he says, فَيَنْبَغِي لَهُ أَنْ يَجْعَلْ الْقُرْآنَ رَبِيعًا لِقَلْبِهِ. Then what is befitting for this individual to do is to make the Qur'an the rabi' of his heart. The rabi' of his heart. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in one of his supplications, he mentioned that he would ask Allah and to make the Qur'an rabi'a qalbihi. Allahumma ja'al al-Qur'an rabi'a qalbi, he would say sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rabi'a qalbi. Rabi', we know it's a season, right? But why is it called rabi'a? Rabi' is the matar, it's the ghaif, it's the rain that comes. It's the rain that comes. It's known as the season. Likewise, from the word, the rabi' has been mentioned like the growth that comes. But actual, the rabi' also has been used, the word used means the rain. The rain that comes in the season. And whenever this rain comes, what is it? What does it produce? It brings life to the barren land. So then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, oh Allah, make the Quran the rabi' of my heart. And he make it the life of my heart, the delight of my heart. The way that the dead land is similar to the dead heart. And whenever the life comes from the, whenever the water comes, it gives life to the land. And it gives the crops they grow and the plants they grow and the benefit comes and the fruit of all different flavors and type comes from the rain. Whenever the rain comes, similarly, the Quran is like this. The revelation of Allah Azza wa Jalla is similar to the rain. Because the rain, it gives life to the barren lands. Likewise, the revelation of Allah Azza wa Jalla gives life to the dead hearts. And it gives life to the souls and it brings them to life. So this is the case. He says, so the Muslim, he should make his heart like this. Make the Quran should be like this, the life of his heart. Bringing his heart to life. The Quran, he says, فَيَنْبَغِي لَهُ أَنْ يَجْعَلَ الْقُرْآنَ رَبِيعًا لِقَلْبِهِ وَيَعْمُرُ بِهِ مَا خَارِبَ مِنْ قَلْبِهِ وَيَتَأَدَّبُ بِأَدَبِ الْقُرْآنِ وَيَتَخَلَّقُ بِأَخْلَاقٍ شَرِيفَةٍ يَبِينُ بِهَا أَنْ سَعِرِ النَّاسِ مِمَّا لَا مِمَّنْ لَا يَقْرَأُ الْقُرْآنِ. He says, so the first thing that a person must do is make the Qur'an the life of his heart. And then he must establish that which has been ruined in his heart by the Qur'an. Fix it, to rectify it. أن يأمر ما به بما خرب من أن يأمر به أي بالقرآن ما خرب من قلبه القلب يخرب Huh? The heart, it can become destroyed, it can become ruined, it can become wore down, it become weak. From what? من الشبهات والشهوات ومن المعاصي. These things, they affect the heart. They weaken the heart. To the point that the heart, it can die. It can be dead. It can see falsehood is truth and truth is falsehood. In this manner, but the way the person of the Quran, he wants to be from the people of the Quran, what will he do? He will make the Quran the life of his heart. So he will read it and he will search for the light of the Quran and the guidance of the Quran. And he will find joy in the Quran and happiness in Quran, in the Quran and peace in the recitation of the Quran. And his heart will come to life. The same way the barren land comes to life from the rain. يَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ يُحْيِي الْأَرْضَ بَعْدَ مَوْتِهَا. Now know that Allah, He gives life to the earth after its death. After its death. It's an example of the heart. He says, so what should he do? He should bring his heart back to life with the Quran. Clarifying the shubuhat and removing them from his heart. Leaving off the shahawat and the sins and the disobedience. Leaving them off. Reading what is pleasing to Allah in the Quran and applying it. He says how to do that. يَتَأَدَّبُ بِأَدْبِ الْقُرْآنِ. يَتَأَدَّبُ بِأَدِبْ الْقُرْآنِ. That he would discipline himself with the discipline of the Qur'an. وَيَتَخَلَّقُ بِأَخْلَاقٍ شَرِيفًا. And he would take on the noble manners. The noble manners. This is the case that he would do first. By these manners, what does he do? يَبِينُ بِهَا and سَعِدِ النَّاسِ. Whenever he disciplines himself with the discipline and the etiquette of the Qur'an, and he takes on the noble manners, then he will distinguish himself from the rest of the people. He will be distinguished from the rest of the people. Whenever we meet a person who is truly a person of Quran, a person of the Sunnah, whenever we're with them, it's benefit from the beginning to the end. They bring benefit in their speech. If they're silent, they bring benefit. The just being in their presence is beneficial, and you see how they deal with you and how they deal with their family. You see so much benefit from them. This is the way of being with the person of the Quran. This is the way of being with the people of Hadith. This is the way of being with the person who is salih, he's upright, he's good, he's sound in his creed and his manners. Like this, he says, if you do this, يَبِينُ بِهَا and سَعِرِ النَّاسِ and يَتَمَيَّزُ عَنْهُمْ بِهَذِهِ الْأَخْلَاقِ الشَّرِيفَةِ وَبِهَذِهِ الْأَدَابِ الْجَمِيلَةِ. That he'll be different from the people. He won't be angry, he won't be backbiting, he won't be talking bad, he won't be rude, he won't be... La, he's different. Why? يَتَأَدَّبُ بِأَدَابِ الْقُرْآنِ يَتَخَلَّقُ بِأَخْلَاقِ الْقُرْآنِ كَانَ النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ خُلُقُهُ الْقُرْآنِ يعني يَأْتَمِرُ بِأَوَامِرِهِ وَيَنْتَهِي عَنْ نَوَاهِيهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. He applies the Qur'an. The author he mentioned, رحمه الله فأول ما ينبغي له من يستعمله تقوى الله عز وجل في السر والعلانية. He says, so the first thing, so he wants to make the Qur'an the life of his heart. He wants to make the Qur'an the rabi' of his qalb, of his heart, the life of his heart, the means to bring his heart back to life, and the joy and the delight of his heart. He wants to rectify that which is corrupted in his heart. He wants to discipline himself with the discipline of the Qur'an. He wants to discipline himself with the etiquettes and the manners of the Qur'an. He wants to have good manners. He wants to be upright. فَأَوَّلُ مَا يَنْبَغِي لَهُ أَنْ يَسْتَعْمِلَ تَقْوَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ فِي السِّرِّ وَالْأَلَانِيَةِ. He said, رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى, that the first thing that he must apply is the piety and the fear of Allah. تَقْوَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ. This is the first thing. The first thing that he must apply is the fear of Allah عز وجل. تَقْوَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ فِي السِّرِّ وَالْأَلَانِيَةِ. In private, and in public, in private and in public, to fear Allah Azza wa Jal, to truly fear Him. This is the advice and the command that Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, He has given all of His creation, the first of them and the last of them. Allah Azza wa Jal, He mentions, وَلَقَدْ وَصَّيْنَا الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ وَإِيَّاكُمْ أَنِ اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ. That verily we have commanded those who have been given the book before you and those after you and you as well, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to fear Allah. To fear Allah. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would always command his companions to fear Allah. Many narrations that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would command his companions with the fear of Allah azza wa jal. Like in the hadith of Mu'adh, he would tell him, radiallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, ittaqillaha haythu ma kunta. Fear Allah wherever you may be. And you fear Allah Azza wa Jalla wherever you may be. Like this. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in another narration and his last days in his life. وَأُسِيكُمْ بِتَقْوَى اللَّهِ. And I advise and command you with the fear of Allah Azza wa Jalla. So Allah Azza wa Jalla, He commanded us to fear Him. And rather the paradise has been created for those people who fear Him. نَمْ أُعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. The paradise was prepared for these people. Who? Al-Muttaqeen. U'iddat lil-Muttaqeen. The paradise was prepared by Allah for these people who fear Him. Likewise, the Quran is guidance. For who? Al-Muttaqeen. Who then? Lil-Muttaqeen. It is guidance. ذَلِكَ كِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. A guidance for those who fear Him. A guidance for those who fear Him. The ulama, they mentioned about the reality of a taqwa. We can mention in summarization that the taqwa, it means that a person, yani, a taqwa here, fi'lu al-awamir wa tarku al-nawahi, to make it simple, in a few words, to perform the obligations, to perform the commandments, and to stay away from the prohibitions with sincere faith. This is the one that has taqwa. This is true taqwa. To apply the commandments of Allah Azza wa Jal in public and in private. And to stay away from the prohibitions of Allah Azza wa Jal in public and in private. This is the meaning of the taqwa of Allah Azza wa Jal. The word taqwa, it comes from the verb waqa. Waqa yaqi qi. Wiqayatan. Al-wiqaya is a barrier, it's a shield. This is a linguistic understanding. Al-wiqaya is a barrier, a shield. The Arabs, they say, الوقاية خير من العلاج. Yani prevention. الوقاية خير من العلاج. And here the barrier or prevention. And the وقاية here be man of prevention. Prevention is better than having the cure. Which one is better? For an individual to be sick and have the cure, or to be safe and be completely shielded and prevented from the cure, from the disease entirely? To be completely safe from the disease entirely. It's much better than to be inflicted with it, but he has the cure. This is the case. So then which one would be better, for a person to go straight into paradise or have to be first entered into the hellfire and cleansed, get the ilaj and then come out and enter the paradise? Al-biqayatu khayrun min al-ilaj. Al-taqwa is this meaning. Taqwa is to perform what Allah has commanded and to stay away from what He has prohibited with believing in Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this will be a means to prevent an individual from the anger of Allah in this life and to prevent him from entering the hellfire by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.